Welcome back to Four Down Breakdown with Connor Halley and Declan Kruger. Only on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260.
Just after 12 o'clock here in the city, Connor Halley, Declan Kruger with you. Four Down Breakdown, talking all things NFL, 23 hours away from kickoff on the Sunday slate of games. TSN 1260 tomorrow morning has Canada taking on Croatia at 9 a.m. at the World Cup. It's going to be so much fun, Declan. You got plans for that? You gonna cook up some breakfast for the boys or anything?
Yeah, just gonna wake up early. I don't know if I'll go anywhere. My friend asked me to go and watch it, but I think it's so early. I think I'm just probably gonna cook up some eggs, make some coffee, and just watch it myself.
I mean, it's great, and you know it's gonna be 2 hours max, under 2 hours, and that sets you right up for NFL football at 11. For those wondering, France beat Denmark 2-1 today. Poland over Saudi Arabia 2-0. Australia knocks off Tunisia 1-0. And Mexico taking on Argentina coming up in about, they're probably getting going right now. So lots going on in the World Cup. Oilers in action today, trailing 1-0 to the Rangers. After 20 minutes, we'll have the Don Wheaton GM on White postgame show with Tom Gazzola, Matt Cassian, and Jeff Walker, a.k.a. Walker postgame Ranger, whenever that one wraps up. But it is Four Down Breakdown. We're talking NFL. We will go out to New York, talk to Dan Lubberfeld of Jets Confidential Magazine and Sirius XM NFL Radio in about 20 minutes' time. And then at 12:40, it's Brits Picks with Britt Prendergast. Declan, in my Brits Picks last week, I got the over in Justin Herbert passing yards. I think that was it. Adam Thielen and the Vikings just decided not to play offense last week, so you know, he redeemed himself this week, but
was a tough one. Yeah. I did not have Vikings plus 2.5. It was not the lock of the century. So what are you going to do?
Oh, well. Live and learn. We take our picks with a grain of salt. We don't necessarily always recommend them. Sometimes we just see that number and that payoff and our eyes get really big and we go with it.
But I will say, I bet them every time. Like, I stay true to it. I practice what I preach.
Well, sometimes I guess it will pay off for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't.
You're like, okay. You're like, all right, man, whatever.
Let's get to yay or nay, where Declan throws some things my way. I answer, he responds, and then we move on to the next one. 10-12-60, if you'd like to participate. We love your feedback and opinions on all things NFL.
All right, number one. And listen, a lot of these, I'm a bit of a prisoner of the moment. A lot of recency bias goes into this, as I've realized looking back past my old yay and nays. But number one, Russell Wilson has had the most drastic fall off you've ever seen. Yay or nay?
Jeez. Oh, man. That's one a little research. I should have looked into this one.
Because the thing is, like, you see quarterbacks who are bad stay bad. But this guy was like a franchise top five quarterback for a decade. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so this is the one that comes to mind for me, and I'm just going to bring up the statistics to see if I can back it up. Yes, here we go. Here's my all-time fall-off. And it's funny because he went on to win a Super Bowl. But Peyton Manning in 2015 threw 9 touchdowns to 17 interceptions. The year before that, 39 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. The year before that, 55 touchdowns, an NFL record, 10 interceptions. So I think that would be one. It's funny that it's another Broncos quarterback. I know the Broncos went on, like I said, won the Super Bowl that year. Peyton rode off in the sunset as a champion. His defense got him there.
And yeah, by Peyton's own admission, on the strength of his defense.
And you know what? The Chargers' last game of the season was against the Broncos. The starter was Brock Osweiler, and the Chargers were beating up on them so bad, they made the change back to Peyton Manning. Manning led them to victory and then led them to the Super Bowl. So that would be the one that would come to mind to me as big drop-offs. So I'll say nay. Peyton Manning's drop-off in the regular season was bigger. What do you think?
Yeah, Peyton Manning is a good argument. But they're like, I don't know about you. I don't want to, I mean, maybe you can speak to it a little bit better because it's in division for you. But with Peyton Manning on that team, it kind of had the Tom Brady, now Pat Mahomes thing where it was like, oh, it's still Peyton Manning. Like, anything can happen. He can figure it out. With Russell Wilson, I'm like, this guy is dead. And I know he's coming off the hand injury, but I mean, what, 26 touchdowns, I think 5 interceptions last year? I should probably pull up the numbers. But I mean, good year, good last year. And this year, it has just been, it's not even like the box numbers are terrible. 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. But this guy can't read defenses anymore. He can't go through his progressions. Like with Peyton Manning, I at least felt like, yeah, he's older, but he can at least be somewhat serviceable. Russell Wilson, I don't want to rag on him too hard because there are definitely worse quarterbacks out there. But to me, he doesn't even look serviceable. And he went, I mean, Peyton Manning's a good one. They're in a pretty similar boat. But I can't see Russell Wilson taking this team to a Super Bowl victory. And I know no. Peyton didn't take them to a Super Bowl victory. They kind of, that they didn't win in spite of him, but they won on the strength of their defense. I don't think this Broncos defense is good enough to carry Russell Wilson to that point. So I'll say, as far as quarterbacks go, from what I've seen, I'll say yes.
Yeah. And I mean, Russ is 34. Peyton was 39. Peyton still had that big brain, right? And would have everyone in the right positions. Russell, and you're right. It is alarming that now when he hears footsteps, he kind of panics, right? And tends to make bad reads and throw it away and miss wide open targets. So that's a good one. Text coming in here. Favre was brutal at the end. Statistically, yeah. I mean, that was the last year in Minnesota.
Favre and Manning, but another thing with them is I agree with the texter for sure, but they were older. Like Russell Wilson, he's not young. He's not a young spring chicken anymore, but he's not 40. He's like 33, right? 32. Like that, you would think you should have some pep in your step. And another thing, Russ never takes accountability. It's always just like, oh man, I play for the man upstairs. Like, oh, this, that, the other thing. Like, it's the corniest thing you've ever heard, and there's never any accountability.
Well, I mean, yeah, he is the corniest player in the league. The one thing I will say about when you look at Brett Favre, I mean, in 2009, he had a 33 touchdown, 7 interception season. He was really good. That's Bounty Gate, when the Saints were just taking huge shots on the Vikings in that playoff game. But the next year, the ratio was 11-19. You go back to 2005, he had a 20 touchdown season with 29 interceptions. Like, that was Favre, right? Like, he could be a turnover machine. He had seasons with 21, 29, 22, 24 interceptions. Like, he threw a lot of touchdowns, but he threw a lot of bad passes as well, because he always had belief in that arm strength. So, yeah, I mean, the drop off from one year to the next, pretty massive, but he had it in him.
All right, number two. The Seahawks, currently sitting at 6-4 and second in the NFC West, finished the season 10-7 or better, yay or nay? Because I don't want to say cupcake schedule, but we got some layups in there, I think.
Okay, yeah, right now, certainly at 6-4, upcoming, you've got the Raiders, they can win. The Rams, you think they can win. The Panthers, they can win. So that's three. Niners, Chiefs, they lose. And then the Jets and Rams, they could win. So, yeah, I think so. And I think Pete Carroll, and I'll just pump his tires a little bit. Going back to your last question, I think he knew something was up with Russ and probably didn't want the big head in that room anymore with what it was going to offer. But yeah, I mean, he just has his team so ready to go. Their draft class was outstanding. Geno Smith, you know, if you're a fan of a team going up against him, he's frustrating to watch because he doesn't make dumb throws. Like, if it's not there, he'll throw it away. Maybe he'll take a sack. He'll check down. He's not throwing up those 50-50 balls. He's very, very smart when he makes those reads. So yeah, I think the way they've played so far, good reason. I'll say yay.
Well, here's another one. I mean, what is Pete Carroll? Where do the Seahawks need to be for Pete Carroll to be in the coach of the year conversation?
Playoffs?
Yeah, playoffs. Do you think that's enough?
To me, coach of the year is always just who surprised you the most. So, yeah, I think he should definitely be in that conversation. Dabble was there for a bit, but the loss is piling up. I think, yeah, you got to have Pete right in there. Your turn.
Pardon?
Your turn.
For my coach of the year candidates?
No. Do you think they're going to win?
Oh, 10 games? Yeah, right. Of course. No, I do. I think they're going to get to 11. I think they're going to drop the 49ers and I think they're obviously going to drop the Chiefs on the road. I think they're going to win both against the Rams. They have the Raiders and Panthers at home. I think they win both those games. And then they have the Jets at home as well. So I think they're going to win that one. So I have them at 11-7 and sneaking into the playoffs in that sixth spot.
All right.
Number three. There are more than five teams who should take a quarterback in the first round of next year's NFL draft.
Oh, more than five teams. Okay.
Yay or nay.
That's
because the thing is, there aren't really going to be five first round quarterbacks available. I think there's three probably that are pretty set in stone and then two on the bubble.
Okay, so let's just go back and look at this. Houston, yes. Carolina, yes. If I was Vegas, I would really consider it.
I had them in the maybe category.
Probably not, but really would consider it. Detroit, yes. And I think that that would be it. Maybe Washington. So, you know what? I'm like you. I don't know if there is the quality, but we've seen it before in the past. Teams get desperate. They take a guy because they don't want to miss out. So, yeah, I'll say five. Go.
Yeah, I had Commanders and Raiders in the maybe category. Two others that I had that should were the Colts and the Saints. I don't know how you feel about that, but I think those two teams need to look at quarterbacks. Matt Ryan isn't the answer. I don't think Sam Ellinger is the answer. Jameis, I mean, you know, he's fun. He can be serviceable, but he's not a long-term quarterback. And Taysom Hill, we don't know what he is, but he's never really gotten those starter reps. And Andy Dalton, nice guy, probably not the quarterback of the future.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's getting a little bit later there in the first round pick, so maybe you can justify it a little bit better. The Colts right now sitting in that 14th spot. The Saints, am I blind? They're there. Do they have a pick? They traded theirs to
Philly. Well, that's right. They traded in the Chris Olave trade. Yeah. So that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah, they took Olave and Penny.
You better take Bo Nix in round five.
I mean, he's scrappy, right? He's undersized. He's a little slow, but maybe he has a way to figure it out. Question number four now, right? What do we got here?
Number four. Daniel Jones had his fifth-year option declined by the Giants earlier this year. They will end up extending him. Yay or nay?
Franchise tag. That's what I say. It's too much to pay him, but it keeps him for one more year. They can explore their options, see if he takes the next step. They've got Tyrod Taylor there. I think he's there for another year. So, yeah, I think they franchise tag him. Unless they go out swinging and, you know, try to trade for someone. I don't even know who would be on the market. Maybe they reach out to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Could you imagine that? But no, I think franchise tag for Mr. Daniel Jones in New York. What do you think?
I think franchise tag is the right move. But I think they would be more likely to not franchise tag him than to extend him. I think if anything, it's going to be the franchise tag. But like I said, I think they'd be more likely to let him walk than to extend him.
Yeah, like he hasn't been amazing where you're not going to give him that big deal. But he also has not been the reason you're losing football games, and he looks like he's shown signs of improvement. So yeah, you keep him around for another year before you have to make that big commitment.
And it's the old adage, like, it could be a lot worse. Could be a lot worse.
There's a few teams I think in the NFL
you could
have
Justin Herbert as your quarterback. Like, I couldn't even imagine.
You could be so lucky to have him, but we'll see.
Moving on to number five, and speaking of it could be a lot worse. Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield both have expiring contracts after this season. They will both be on an NFL roster come opening day next year. Yay or nay?
Yay. I mean, I guess there is that off chance that they kind of hold out and wait for a better opportunity with a starter going down, but I honestly don't think that's good for either of their careers. I think they need to go somewhere and, you know, be picking up an offense the whole offseason, right? Like, sign as soon as you can, get somewhere. I don't know if it's like Mitch Trubisky signing with the Bills for 1 year and just trying to get your career back on track. But yeah, I'll say yay. They both start the year on a roster.
I think Sam Darnold might be done, man.
Really?
I think Baker will be on a roster. Sam Darnold, his career completion percentage is under 60. In four seasons as a starter, he's had one season over 60. He's thrown for 3,000 yards once, never thrown for 20 touchdowns, and he has 54 career touchdowns to 52 career interceptions. There are worse backups out there, but I think he's done. I think Sam Darnold will not be on an NFL roster come opening day next year. He might get picked up. You know, injuries might lead to him being on a roster at some point. I think Baker definitely will be, but I think it's over for Sam.
26 years old. You know what, though? I kind of feel bad for him because, and I think Robbie Anderson said it on a podcast, like, they kind of messed him up at the beginning, right? Throwing him in so soon with a team that wasn't really ready. Like, who's been his best receiver? Corey Davis or Robbie Anderson?
DJ Moore,
yeah.
When you talk about talent, Corey Davis maybe. But he hasn't had the best, but, like, I don't know. You see other quarterbacks make receivers better. He does not do that. I will say he doesn't have the receivers to elevate him, but he doesn't make them a whole heck of a lot better either.
I think that there will be one coach or offensive coordinator who has enough confidence in himself to say, I can make this guy a player. Like, he was a third overall pick out of USC, right? Like, I think someone will have a big ego and think, he's got the tools, I can fix him, let's go for it. That draft, looking back at it.
Oh, I'm just looking at it now.
It's so funny to see the way it all worked out eventually. Baker Mayfield going first overall. I remember people thought it could be Sam Darnold in that spot. Josh Rosen, he's a free agent. So
He's retired effectively.
Josh Allen, obviously MVP level player. Lamar Jackson's already won an MVP. Teams wanted him to play running back or receiver. That's looking pretty bad in hindsight. But yeah, I mean, it's a good question for sure. Sam Darnold, interesting fellow. I think he'll end up somewhere.
And Mason Rudolph, the sixth quarterback taken in that draft. So that's, I mean, it's not a good look.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll be rooting on Kyle Laletta. Taking snaps under center for the New Jersey Generals coming up here. Yeah, USFL's coming back. We'll see how that goes. Let's take a break, and we'll head out to Jersey to hear from Dan Leberfeld. Covers the Jets for Jets Confidential, also part of SiriusXM NFL Radio. That's next here on 4 Down Breakdown on TSN 1260.
Welcome back to 4 Down Breakdown with Connor Halley and Declan Kruger. Only on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260.
Welcome back to 4 Down Breakdown here on TSN 1260. Connor Halley, Declan Kruger with you here today, talking all things NFL. And one of the storylines we really wanted to touch on this week, Declan, was with those New York Jets. And obviously a tough loss, tough way to lose with the way it all worked out. To the New England Patriots, defensively, they were quite sound, but on the offensive side of the ball, didn't quite work out for them. And after the game, Zach Wilson was asked about it, didn't take too much responsibility. At the time, I thought maybe he misheard the question from the reporter, but it doesn't seem to be the case, and the Jets make the change at the quarterback position. This week, they will start Mike White, and we're going to talk about that with a Jets reporter. He covers the team for Jets Confidential, also part of SiriusXM NFL Radio, Dan Leberfeld. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Jets Whispers. Dan, thanks so much for doing this today. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing really good, and we appreciate you hopping on the show today. So I want to just ask your opinion on that. Were you surprised to see that Mike White was named starter this week?
No. You know, I think somebody put it best when there was a radio host, and it actually was on one of the gambling channels, and the guy played the soundbite from Zach Wilson after the game. It's actually Patrick Maher was the host, and he said, after listening to that soundbite, Patrick Maher said, Zach Wilson just benched himself. So I think it was in terms of how he handled that question about letting down the defense. So I think it was a combination of the performance. And then that quote, which didn't play well in the locker room, that was it. Because I was of the opinion that even though he played very poorly against New England, I thought that with Chicago on the schedule this week, they might give him one more game because Chicago is not a good team, very beatable. So maybe they say maybe he can get his act together against Chicago. But I think the quote combined with the performance led to the change at quarterback, and the fact they're going with Mike White.
Now, do you think they were trending that way anyways? Like you said, like the quote obviously doesn't help. But when you go back and look at him since he's taken over as starter, coming back from injury, one touchdown, two interceptions, then, you know, three straight games with no touchdowns, the loss against New England a couple weeks ago, a couple touchdowns but more interceptions. Like, I mean, is his play kind of trending towards that direction where the Jets almost had to make a change and try to find someone who could move the ball?
Yeah, because they're 6-4, and they really should be 8-2. They should have beat New England both times. In the first New England game in New Jersey, Zach Wilson threw three interceptions, and two of those interceptions led to field goals, and New England won by five. So when you look at those two field goals making the difference in the game, and then you look at the second game, which we're talking about during this segment, where he threw for 77 yards and just could not move the team. They come out in the second half against New England and Foxborough the other day. They throw a bubble screen to Braxton Berrios, simple pass, left flat, sails way over his head. And at that point, I'm thinking, and I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, that there's something amiss here. They might need to make a change because you've got, you know, there are some difficult passes. That wasn't one of them.
We're discussing the New York Jets with Dan Leberfeld of Jets Confidential Magazine and Sirius XM NFL Radio. Just how big of a loss was Breece Hall? Obviously, he was playing some really good football before the injury, and the team acts quickly and goes out and acquires James Robinson from the Jacksonville Jaguars. But tough to kind of duplicate his big play potential.
Yeah, the running game has not been the same since the Breece Hall injury. They have some decent running backs. James Robinson, who they acquired in the trade with Jacksonville, he's a good player, but he's not a speedy back. He's like a 4.6 40 type guy. And then you have Michael Carter, who's platooning with Robinson. And Michael Carter is kind of a change of pace scat back. Breece Hall combined both qualities, the size of 220 of James Robinson and the speed of Michael Carter. He was like, you know, the guy that checked all the boxes at the running back position. Now they're going with the running back by committee, and they don't have the same juice at the position.
Dan, I just want to jump back to the quarterback room here for a second. I know you said you're not surprised that Mike White was getting the start over Zach Wilson, but talking about the other guy in the room there and Joe Flacco, I mean, you look at the Jets, 6-4 right now, Bears, very winnable game, Jags, very winnable, a lot of very winnable games left in the schedule. I know you said you weren't surprised Mike White got the start, but are you surprised that they went with him over Joe Flacco when there's still such a chance to be in playoff contention here? Does Joe Flacco not give this team a better chance to get into the playoffs?
Yeah, on paper you would think that. But the fact that they elevated Mike White a couple weeks ago to the number two spot and Joe Flacco's been inactive kind of made you think it was trending in this direction. Mike White, aside from one bad game last year against Buffalo, which was the number one defense at the time when he was filling in for Zach Wilson, Mike White has looked really good in practice, really good in the preseason. Obviously, he had the game for the ages against Cincinnati. His jersey went to the Hall of Fame for that one, and he was AFC Player of the Week on the offensive side after beating the Bengals in a surprising upset in the 2021 season. So I think he's a little undervalued. He's 6'5", you know, about 225 pounds. He can make all the throws. He sees the field well. He's very poised, very calm in the pocket. So I think, while on paper it does look like, hey, why wouldn't you go with Flacco, the guy with experience, when they're in the playoff hunt? I think they really like Mike White, and I think they think he can get the job done. And he's more mobile. That's another thing about Flacco. He's 37. He's kind of a statue in the pocket at this point.
Dan, I think if you told a lot of Jet fans that, you know, going into week 12, you're going to be 6-4, you're going to have a real chance to make the playoffs, the real chance to get 9-10 wins, they'd be pretty excited. But then you look and, you know, you see how Zach Wilson's been playing. We've seen the comparisons to Jamarcus Russell's first 25 starts. If you're a Jets fan, do you look at this like, yeah, we're happy with how we're playing, we're happy we're in the playoff hunt? Or do you look at this as, you know, Zach Wilson maybe isn't the guy we thought he was going to be?
Well, I think Jet fans are quietly excited about Mike White because they saw him in that Cincinnati game, which was an amazing performance. And then you look at the fact that he went out and played against the Indianapolis Colts on Thursday Night Football last year, and he was really playing well, taking the team down the field. And then he hurt his arm. He got a nerve injury when he got hit, and he came out of that game early. Who knows how history would have played out if Mike White finished that Colt game, because he was playing well in that game. So he played well against Cincinnati, played well against the Colts before he got hurt. And let's not forget, he came into the New England game that Zach Wilson got hurt, and his first pass of the game, he threw a touchdown to Corey Davis. So I think Jet fans have some excitement about Mike White, and they're also excited about their defense, which has been one of the best in the league. And that's one of the issues with Zach Wilson, and kind of led to that question that was so controversial, that they're wasting a defensive effort week in, week out that's displaying a top-shelf defense. So really good defense. They have a lot of weapons on offense. There's no reason for them not to challenge for a wild card spot. This is the most talented Jets roster I've seen in a long time. But you make the point about the surprising season. Las Vegas obviously didn't think much of them because the win total entering the year was 5.5 wins. And to show you what a surprising season it's been, they've already surpassed that.
Dan, you bring up the defense. I can't not talk about Sauce Gardner here and what he's been. I mean, obviously fourth overall pick in the draft this past year. So very highly touted. But did anyone think he was going to be this good? Did any of the beat reporters, did any of you guys in the media think he was going to be this guy? Because there's a real conversation. He's already the best cornerback in the league. I mean, did you guys see this coming?
Well, I thought he would be very good on the NFL level, but I thought that it would take him longer to acclimate to the NFL game. Coming from University of Cincinnati, which is not from a Power 5 conference, and, you know, playing the likes of Temple and Navy, those kind of teams, Central Florida, in that conference, not the best competition. He didn't come from the SEC, you know, playing against Alabama and Ole Miss and teams like that. So the level, the big jump in competition, and also he was strictly a man-to-man corner in college. The Jets play a lot of zone, so people wondered how would he do with the zone. And honestly, early in the year, his zone defense wasn't great. But I think since then they realized, what are we doing here? We got this elite man-to-man corner. Why are we asking to play zone so much? So he's playing mostly man-to-man now. But, yeah, I think we all knew he had elite skill, but how fast it's come together, I think that would be the biggest surprise as far as how well he's playing so quickly.
Dan, when you look at what the job that Joe Douglas has done since joining the team in 2019, I look back at their draft class from last year and, you know, loved it, loved the aggressiveness trading back into the last half of the first round. And then even this year, like we talked about earlier, as soon as the injury happens, they go out and bring in a James Robinson. I've loved the aggressive nature that he's had, you know, in the last little while here. What have you made of the job that he's done in his tenure with the Jets and the team he's built?
Yeah, he's the best. He might be the best GM in team history, to be honest with you. He's just done such a good job. Obviously, some people would argue, well, hey, he might have missed out on the Zach Wilson pick. So that's a big negative as far as his record. But you know what? He has a lot of company. If that's the case, and Zach Wilson's career is far from over, but a lot of teams have issues finding a guy at that position, because the reason the position is so hard to scout is you don't know if a guy can read NFL defenses until he reads NFL defenses. You know, they face college defenses with guys wide open. So how do you know what they're going to do with smaller windows and against complicated schemes until they do it? So he has plenty of company if Zach Wilson doesn't work out. But putting that aside for a second, you look at – I'll give you another move he just made. And this guy – this is something you guys would be very interested in. I'm sure you saw it. It's signing Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, the Canadian offensive lineman. They brought him to the practice squad. And one thing Joe Douglas has done is he's provided great offensive line depth. There's so much bad offensive line play this year around the league. And one of the reasons is teams don't have depth. You know, Joe has shown vision, you know, signing Cedric Obuhi, an offensive tackle off the Houston Texans practice squad. Then Elijah Vera Tucker gets hurt at right tackle, and they have this guy to plug in. So Joe Douglas has done a wonderful job providing a lot of quality depth on this team. Aside from being a good judge of talent, one of the reasons he's been able to do that is they have a quarterback on his rookie contract. You know, teams like Buffalo, which have depth issues, once you pay the quarterback $40, $45, $50 million a year, you can't spend as much money on depth for the team. Jets don't have to pay the quarterback yet. I know Zach Wilson got a decent first-round contract, but it's, you know, it's 4 years, $35 million. It's not $45 million a year. So he's taking advantage of that extra cap space to really load up the depth on this roster, and that's one of the reasons they're in contention, even though they've had some bad injuries.
Dan, thanks so much for joining us here today. Really appreciate it, and enjoy the game tomorrow.
Okay, always a pleasure to be on with you guys. Enjoy the games tomorrow. Should be a good slate.
Thanks so much. That is Dan Leberfeld, Jets Confidential Magazine and SiriusXM NFL Radio. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Jets Whispers. Joe Douglas, best GM in history. He's only been there since 2019. That's high praise, Declan.
That's what a Sauce Gardner pick does to a franchise.
Draft Sauce. That's all you have to do. We'll take a break here. When we come back, Brit's Picks with Britt Prendergast. We'll see how we did last week. I don't know how it went, but we'll share our thoughts on some picks you might want to make, try to earn a little extra cash, do some money lines. That and more coming up next here on 4 Down Breakdown. Connor Halley, Declan Kruger here on TSN 1260.
Welcome back to Four Down Breakdown with Connor Halley and Declan Kruger. Only on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260.
Welcome back to Four Down Breakdown here on TSN 1260. Connor Halley, Declan Kruger with you today. As we are taking a look around the NFL, we've got a bunch of slate of games we are going to get to in a second here for Brits Picks. Quick update here for the hockey fans out there, the Oilers in action. We've got the Don Wheaton GM on White post-game show coming up in, I don't even know, 45 minutes maybe, an hour. Not going too well for the Edmonton Oilers out in New York as they take on the Rangers. Rangers currently up 3-0. And not going well. The Oilers, they've actually challenged twice and had two challenges go their way. And they're still down 3-0. So Tom Gazzola, former NHLer Matt Cassian, and Jeff Walker will break that down once the game wraps up. Right now, though, let's get to Brits Picks.
It's time for Brits Picks with Britt Prendergast.
Now, Britt, do we have you?
Yeah. Okay. We figured it out. I don't know what's going on with that mic.
Hey, you know
it's
what?
It's like dead.
We made it work. We'll have to talk to engineering about that one. And maybe we'll get that fixed, hopefully, by next week. But glad we could make this work. Britt Prendergast comes down the hall to join us here for Brits Picks. We use FanDuel, and we try to give you guys some advice to hopefully win you some money. But take it with a grain of salt, because we're not perfect, and sometimes we don't get them correct. So, Britt, why don't we start with your first pick this week?
Okay, sorry. Just getting organized here. All right, so I'm going to go with Mike Evans anytime TD. And that's kind of coming at plus 135.
Not a bad one. Leonard Fournette out this week. Fantasy football owners, check your lineup. Leonard Fournette will not play. So I like that one. Brady's got to find Big Mike Evans. Declan.
Well, the Broncos are an unders factory, and they're playing the Panthers this week. This is one of the lowest lines I've seen in a long time. It's set right now at 36.5. I still think it's going to go under that. Great defense for Denver. Terrible offense on both sides of the ball. So I'm taking under 36.5. That's coming in at minus 112.
Oh, I like that one. I'm going to stick with you in the under factory here. Jets, Bears. I don't know. Justin Fields, I like the guy, but you know, there is those injury concerns right now, and we'll see how much he wants to run the ball. That's when he's most effective. Does he want to hurt that shoulder? I don't know. And the Jets, who knows? Maybe Mike White goes off, but under 38.5 paying out at minus 110. I'm going to take the under in that one. Britt, how about your second selection?
Well, last week, Treylon Burks there for Tennessee, he had 111 yards. So I think I can guarantee 70 plus receiving yards, and that pays out at plus 290.
With my second overall pick, I'm staying with the Bears-Jets game, just like you, Connor. I'm taking Bears plus 6.5. Plus 6.5? Are you kidding me? Mike White? Just listen, the Bears aren't anything special. They've lost a lot of close games, but Justin Fields has been electric. And with Mike White, he's such an unknown commodity. I just feel like I have to take Bears at plus 6.5. That's coming in at minus 105.
Yeah, it's going to be like a 6-3 game, hopefully, and everyone wins. I'll go to the Dolphins-Texans game, and 14 points just seems like such a big spread in the NFL. I mean, the Texans, yeah, they're not world beaters, and the Dolphins have looked pretty good this year, but I mean, it's still the NFL. So I'm going to say the Texans cover the 14 point spread, paying out at minus 105 right now. So we'll see if it happens. It could get out of hand, but sometimes, you know, good teams take the bad teams lightly. So I'll say they find a way to get it done. Britt, how about your third and final pick here?
Well, a game that we actually just talked about off air, the three of us being, we're not sure what to take on it, I guess, shall we, with Denver and Carolina. So I'm going to go on a limb here. Cortland Sutton, I'm going to give him 80 plus receiving yards, and that's going to come in at 174.
Declan?
You listen, Connor, you talked about it as well. Big spreads. I'm going straight to L.A., Kansas City. 15.5 is the spread right now. And you know what? I'm taking Kansas City at minus 15.5. Bryce Perkins, who? You ever heard of that guy? No Cooper Kupp. Cam Akers has been nothing special in the backfield. Kansas City at minus 15.5. It's a lot of points, but I think they're going to do it.
Kansas City gets teams when they're at their very lowest.
And then steps on their throat.
And then my flipping Chargers get the Niners as they get healthy. They get the Cardinals this week as they're healthy. I'm sick of it. Anyways, I'll go Lamar Jackson anytime touchdown. He he's just such a threat once they get into the red zone. If everything breaks down, he can move around a little bit. Taking on the Jags this week in Jacksonville. So I think he's going to find a way when they get in close there to run one in. Now we'll jump over to our picks of the week. We've got five games we're looking at. We'll start off with the Tennessee Titans hosting Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Did I see that right? Is Ja'Marr Chase in?
No.
It's a no, hey?
Unless something
changed. I thought it was questionable. I was told he was in, but you know what? I'm going to go with Tennessee on this one, then.
Yeah, I think this Cincinnati team is very similar to the Cincinnati team we saw make a run last season. I think they were 6-4 at this point in the season as well. Playing in Tennessee on the road, I think Tennessee is going to do what they do. They're going to control the clock. They're going to run the ball. Derrick Henry's going to gain his momentum. And I think this is going to be a close, low-scoring game, but I think Tennessee pulls it out at home somewhere in the 20-17 range.
Ja'Marr Chase, limited practice throughout the week. He's listed as questionable. They're saying don't expect him to play. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would love him as a Joe Burrow fantasy owner. You'd love to see him
right
back in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it doesn't look like this will be the week. I really think that Tennessee finds a way just to play, like you said, Declan, run the ball, wear down the clock, keep Joe Burrow on the sideline. You don't want to let him get cooking. So I'll take Tennessee to win at home. A game we've talked about quite a bit already, the Jets and the Bears. It should be interesting. It should be competitive. What do you think, Britt?
Well, you know what? I'm just going to stick with the Jets on this one. Don't ask me why. I'm not quite sure, but that's where I'm going to go with this one.
Yeah, I think the Bears have a tendency to play, I don't even know if exciting is the right word, but semi-competitive football. I mean, Justin Fields can make it interesting, but they can't really close out games. I think the Jets are a team they should beat with Mike White in at quarterback, maybe an upgrade from Zach Wilson, who knows, but I'm still going to go with the Bears on this one. I took them at +6.5. I'm going to drift into the money line territory right now, and I'll say the Bears get it done on the road.
Yeah, I mean, the health concerns with Justin Fields are the big one. Darnell Mooney, does he get the coverage from Sauce Gardner? That's my big question for fantasy football. Maybe Chase Claypool. I'll take the... this one's a toss up. I need a coin, so I just flip it up. Let's go Jets because they're at home. I don't know how accurate that's going to be, but yeah, that's a tough one. Quick game three for us. We'll go the Carolina Panthers hosting the Denver Broncos. Britt, what do you think?
You know what? Just because of the things going on in Denver, and it seems like a little bit of a drama fest over there, I'm going to go with Carolina on this one.
Well, yeah, I mean, Denver has been horrendously underwhelming. And Carolina, you know, they picked up a good win against the Bucks. They showed they can play in a couple games here and there, but they're objectively a worse team, I think. So I'm going to say Denver has enough talent to get it done, and I'll take them on the road.
Sam Darnold gets the start, Declan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Broncos by a million.
You said he's out of the NFL next year. You said nobody wants him, but he's going to show you what he's got.
He's going to show you why he's going to be out of the league next year.
He's got Dante Foreman. Yeah, the Broncos defense is pretty good. But I'm going to go the other way because I don't like the Broncos. I don't like Russell Wilson. And I like Chuba Hubbard. So I'll say the Panthers trying to get a way to get it done. Brian Burns wreaks havoc on Russell Wilson. And Russ just cannot cook. We'll go to the Sunday Nighter.
You know, I'm not really... Yeah, okay, Philly's not playing like the beginning of the season Philly football, but I still don't think it's going to be a win for Green Bay, so I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Yeah, I think, you know, Green Bay has just fallen off such a cliff, and the Eagles are where they're at for a reason. Obviously, a bit of a scare last week against the Colts. Pulled that one out narrowly. I mean, those guys are playing for Jeff Saturday, though. A bit of a different situation. Yeah, I'm taking the Eagles at home in prime time.
Yeah, I mean, you'd love... Well, Britt wouldn't love it, but I'd love to see Aaron Rodgers go out there and flash back and show us how good he can be. But yeah, I'm not too convinced with that one. Philly's a pretty good team. And I was just looking up. I think we should have that game on air here on TSN 1260 620 tomorrow night. But don't hold me to it because it's not on the board. And if it's not on the board, I'm not sure. Our final game this week, Indianapolis Colts taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the Monday Nighter. It will not be on TSN 1260 because we will have Oilers post-game, pre-game going on that evening. But if you want to go watch it with Lieutenant Eric, you can head out to the Canadian Brewhouse in Sherwood Park. Maybe he'll buy you a beer. Colts host the Steelers. Britt, where are you going on this one?
Again, another underwhelming game for me personally, but I just think Pittsburgh's got the edge right now, so I'm gonna have to go with the Steelers on this one.
I listen, I like the way the Colts are playing for Jeff Saturday. They came out there and they beat the Raiders with him coming off the couch. They only lost to the Eagles by one, who are a far more talented for one, but a far more put together team. So I think they're playing well under Jeff Saturday. I think he's got the boys whipped into shape a little bit. I don't trust Kenny Pickett at this point in his career. I don't trust the weapons they have in the backfield or in the receiving corps. And Indianapolis, their offense is nothing to gawk at, but Pittsburgh's defense hasn't been what I thought it could be. TJ Watt obviously playing very well. He's going to get to the quarterback, but I'm going to take Indianapolis at home.
How do you neutralize a good pass rush, Declan?
You run the ball.
Britt, what do you do?
I was going to say run the ball.
You run the ball at it, right? Jonathan Taylor. I think Jeff Saturday knows that. I think there's going to be heavy doses of him. He's got over 20 carries in the last two games since Saturday took over. So I don't love it, but I'm going to take the Colts. I think they're going to run Jonathan Taylor a lot and try to neutralize TJ Watt because he is a game wrecker. Britt, we asked it earlier on in the show. It was our question of the day.
Yep.
As a Vikings fan,
yep,
what is your worst football moment?
You know what? After we had the Minneapolis miracle and like that high, and then we went into Philly the next week and they just crumbled. Sorry. The Vikings just completely crumbled. And it was like, and it was so funny too, because my brother and I grabbed my dad and took him out to a pub in Sherwood Park. We're all hyped and my mom comes and then the face on my dad the whole game. Yeah, that was probably the worst one, especially because we had to do it as a family.
I mean, the Minneapolis miracle was something.
Oh,
quite the high. You guys also had that tough one against the Saints with Bounty Gate when Brett Favre was just getting beat up. Mm-hmm. The late interception. It's fun being a football fan, but sometimes it really sucks.
It wasn't signing Kirk Cousins. That wasn't the worst moment of your Vikings fandom.
No. It's up there.
It's got to be top 10.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Kirk's okay. He's like a 500 career quarterback.
Exactly. He is okay. Perfectly
average.
He's
been good this year. He's got Justin Jefferson.
He beat my Bills. So, you know, credit to him. Credit where credit's due.
Yeah. You were talking a lot of smack about Herbert. Josh Allen could take a snap. I mean, maybe you guys would have won that game. Scrolling Gord, we see you out there as well. Thank you for the text, but I'm not going to read the Herbert slander. I'm not going to do it. Britt, thank you for doing this.
Thank you. I love it every week.
The 2-minute warning.
Declan, as we wrap up here, do you think that we were too quick to discount the Indianapolis Colts for hiring Jeff Saturday? Perhaps maybe bringing him in as a guy who could be kind of a sounding board for everyone else worked out well. And maybe he's kind of just like a figurehead and he's just letting everyone else do their jobs and he's just going to chill.
I think maybe we were a little too quick to judge. I think he's done what he needs to do, and he's in a position where he doesn't have anything to lose, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like his lifelong goal was to be a coach. It's not like he's worked his entire career for this moment. He was brought in to help out, essentially. If it doesn't work out, he goes back to TV, and it's fine. So he's going to do it with nothing to lose mentality, and he's got the boys whipped into shape, like you said.
And no matter what happens, Colts fans are going to love him. They could lose every game, and they'll say, well, we are kind of sucking anyways, and now we have a top 2 pick, right?
It sounds crazy, but the one win in his first week and holding the Eagles to a 1-point victory might be enough.
Also, I think when you look at the Colts this year, do they still have that first? Yeah, their first pick, 14. So if they lost a few more games, they could drop down to the top 10. Jump up to the top 10, I guess. Depends on your perspective. We shall see. Thank you guys for tuning into the show today. Big thank you to our guests, Matt Paris, Commander's beat reporter for the Washington Times, Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential and Sirius XM, and Britt Prendergast for Britt's Picks. If you missed anything, check out tsn1260.ca or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. You can find us. Just search 4Down Breakdown or TSN1260. Declan, great work today. Pat yourself on the back. Oilers down 3-0 in New York. Third period about to get going here. Tom Gazzola, Matt Cassian, and Jeff Walker. We'll have your post-game coverage coming up in a bit. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.